A carnivore diet refers to the consumption of animal-based foods. People who follow a carnivorous dietary pattern eat almost exclusively only meat and other animal-based foods. And you're about to learn everything about it. Welcome to Carnivore Today. All things carnivore, ketogenic living, and metabolic health. If you're looking to shed those extra pounds, reduce your dependency on prescriptions, or even heal metabolic disorders, we've got you covered. It's all about the latest research, success stories, and we'll give you practical tips to help you thrive on your wellness journey. And we're also here to quell some misconceptions about it.
What about fiber? Won't I explode without eating fiber?
Fiber is not necessary.
I'll get fat eating all that fat.
No, you will not.
I'm not going to have any energy because no carbs.
You'll have more.
I'm going to have a heart attack from eating all that red meat.
False.
Carnivore Today, where your health journey begins. Now your host, Adam Lacy.
Hi, everybody. Today we're with TD and Faith, and I thank you guys for joining me today and sharing your carnivore story. So for those of us that don't know TD and Faith, can you guys introduce yourselves and let everybody know a little bit about where you're from and what you do and that sort of thing?
So I'm TD. This is my wife, Faith. And we live in Northeast Texas, and we're kind of like, we're a family of eight, and we decided to live like a more slower type of intentional lifestyle. And we've always been like food conscious and health conscious and about, and we've always been like real, concerned about what we eat, which is why we raise our own cows and we have lots of fruit trees and we've always had gardens and all these things. Well, about 200 days ago, we started on this crazy carnivore thing. We joined the carnivore cult and we have experienced such incredible changes in our sleep patterns. Just the general wellness has been incredible. Very impactful, and we're very excited. And it was an absolute, for me, it was a necessity. I'll let my wife talk and then we can kind of get in maybe to why I wanted to do this.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. There's so many different roads that led to carnivore. I feel like, like my husband said, we have always been, he grew up, kind of healthy, crunchy food. His mom, was like, shredded wheat or something. Grape nuts. It was like, whatever they could buy at the health food store. I grew up on standard American diet. Everything that was pre-made in a can, just total junk garbage food. The only thing we didn't do in our house was soda. Praise the Lord for that. But everything else was just kind of a free-for-all. It was just a lot of junk food. But then my grandparents, when they would have like family meals or things like that, they would cook from scratch and they would cook whole meals, whole food type meals, not canned and all of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I kind of had that kind of mixture growing up. And then when we got married, I didn't know anything about cooking. If it didn't come from a box or a can, I just had no idea how to boil water. And so, I just did everything from a box or a can or whatever. And so little by little, he taught me some things about healthier ways to eat. So by the time we had our first baby, I was 25 and we were both working full time. So that kind of adds a dynamic to it too, with time and all of that. And we had really started to learn about whole foods. So we kind of really switched over to like, if it was in a box or if it was frozen things, pre-made things, we wanted to get rid of all of that and just go with whole foods. So that was 18 years ago. So that kind of started us on that journey. But I think when we look back, I know in my life, I ate a lot of plants. I didn't eat hardly any meat all growing up. I never hardly ever ate meat unless if I had to, like if my dad was like, okay, like you have to eat this piece of meat that's on your plate. Like, you know, they were hunters, so they did some deer meat and stuff too. But I hated it. I didn't like meat. So that led right into our married life. I didn't really like meat. I didn't really like touching meat, raw chicken, anything like that. So I just didn't do a lot of meat. And then we kind of got onto this plant-based thing when my son, who's 18 now, was born. And we were already doing the whole foods, but the plant-based, I don't even know that they called it plant-based back then, but it was just kind of coming around. And so that sounded good to me because I didn't really like meat anyway. And so I just did a lot of plant-based, and we would only eat meat if we were going out to dinner, which was very rare because we had three babies in a row. So we did not go out to dinner or out anywhere very often at all, maybe a few times a year at the most. My dad might watch them for like a date night, and he'd get a hamburger and I would get like a black bean veggie burger because I thought I was like doing something good, you know?
Right.
And so with the exception of going out to dinner, he would get a steak or, and I would get my veggie burger. Or if we went somewhere really nice, maybe like once or twice a year, I might get a piece of salmon. But other than that, we really weren't doing meat. And then that led us to Texas 10 years ago. And I thought it was really funny because when we got here in our backyard was real little, but it backed up to the neighbors and there was all these Angus cows back there. And it's cow country everywhere. Yeah, everywhere. It's just beef country, you know? And I was thinking, oh, this is really funny. You know, the Lord has a sense of humor because here we just eat vegetables and plant-based and we are like in beef country, you know, and we don't really eat that. And so little by little, you know, we started to break down, I guess, culturally, we kind of felt some pressure, you know, being in that we started getting like little rolls of like ground turkey, you know, because, you know, oh, God forbid you bring home ground beef, you know, in my mind, you know. So right. I started with ground turkey and just little things like that. And then when we moved here, about 9 months into being here, our neighbors here had longhorn cows, and he said he'll sell it to us, you know, whole cows at a really discounted price. He just had compassion on us, I think, because we had so many kids and he just wanted us to have some good meat. And so our freezer always had beef in it, but still we would only eat it like, I don't know, maybe once a week. Some of my kids didn't eat meat at all. They just ate vegetables. TD would love to eat meat every single night.
And I became incredibly disenchanted because I kept having all these back issues, which come to find out it was stemming from my shoulder condition that I had. I didn't know that. I thought I had massive issues in these different things. And I became so disenchanted because here we are, we're crunchy. We try to eat majorly organic and I'm like, I'm tired. I can't sleep. I got all this pain and inflammation. I had incredible brain fog. I didn't realize that's what it was. And I was so disenchanted. I'm like, man, you know, they talk about getting old. I guess this is getting old and getting old is just terrible, you know? Mm-hmm. And, 200 days ago because of Carrie at Homestead Hal. So my wife stumbled upon a Carrie video.
It's funny, yeah.
Because I said, look, I need meat. Like when we eat, I need meat. That's the deal. So dinner needs meat in it. And I had been doing that, but I still felt, you know, I'm doing all this other stuff that's supposedly good for you. And I felt terrible. I mean, I felt terrible. And
cabinets full of supplements,
all kinds of supplements,
green powders, and smoothie and whole foods. I mean, everything was just, it was just, you know, a lot. You know, I had a whole cabinet full of fresh fruit. You know, I would get like five different types of fruit every week at the grocery store, and I would just keep it filled in the kitchen because I thought, you know, they should have unlimited fruit. You know, the kids should just be able to unlimited fruit, vegetables. You know, we almost killed ourselves trying to grow a garden the last, I don't know, 9 years, not this year, but canning vegetables, doing all of that stuff. So, I mean, we were in it to win it. And we had freezers full of meat, but we didn't really, like, I was rationing it out, like, just a few times a week. And like I said, some of us just didn't eat it at all, you know?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Well, and
then that was the going way of thinking anyways, right? I mean, for most people, yeah, it was like just an occasional thing to eat meat, especially red meat.
Sure. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And then I found out I had this arthritic shoulder condition, and it's what was creating all this back and neck issues. And so they scoped my shoulder, and then their four orthopedic surgeons said, well, that you literally have the worst shoulder I've ever seen, and you need a shoulder replacement. So, so I kept trying to get additional help from them, and they're like, well, we want to cut your bum shoulder out and replace it with metal and vinyl, mm-hmm, and hope that it lasts you 10 years until we have to do it again. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, oh boy, well, that's not going to work, you know? Mm-hmm. So, my chiro recommended me, and I had done every conceivable type of chiropractic, like advanced orthogonal, Gonstead, indirect force. I mean, I had done the gamut of
since chiropractic. We've been married. I mean, he's always gone to the chiropractor, yeah, like two or three times a week, constant.
And I even did Arasti. I mean, I was trying to do whatever I could do. And so I met with a stem cell specialist in Dallas. We did stem cell, which was incredible. Mm-hmm. It took away my pain and everything, but mm-hmm, he's like, you know, this is going to kind of freeze it where it's at, and hopefully this treatment will last you 3 to 5 years and we'll do it again. And just as God would have it, about 200 days, because I'm like, you know, they've removed all this scar tissue, they've opened up all this space and the cavity, mm-hmm, and everything, because what had happened, scar tissue had developed so densely, it was pressing on a nerve, and I was just in radiating pain like 24/7.
Yeah. And the surgeon that went in and did his shoulder surgery, it was just kind of a last ditch effort. He said, I'll go in and do this before we just, you know, throw up our hands and do a full shoulder replacement. But you're probably going to need a shoulder replacement, and you're probably going to need two shoulder replacements because the other shoulder isn't as progressed as that one is, but it's on its way. Like, you just have arthritis in your body, you know? So mm-hmm, when he went in there, he was in there for 4 hours, and the surgeon came out and he was like, he's got the worst shoulder I have ever seen. He said, he needs a shoulder replacement. And I said, when? And he said, today. Like, he needs a shoulder replacement. He's like, I did the best I could. I cleaned it up, but he's like, I couldn't even, he said, it's so tight that I couldn't even get my scope in there to just see what was going on. He's like, it's just a disaster. He was like, your husband's just been in incredible pain, you know? So yeah, then we went to the stem cell guy.
Yeah. And what had happened is, you know, I'm like, I know that this scar tissue and whatnot's going to come back. I mean, because that's what scar tissue does, you know? And, so in the back of my mind, I'm always, you know, thinking that. And right about the time where Faith decided, hey, why don't we all just do this carnivore thing? Yeah. I was starting to get like these faint feelings like in that arm. And I'm just like, oh man, this is like flashbacks. I know what this is, you know, and this is really bad. And so that's when we made the switch. And that was about 200 days ago. Yeah. And it's just, I mean, the improved sleep, which just does like
everything
miracles on my shoulder, just being able to sleep.
Let's rewind a second. So why, Faith, why did you suggest the carnivore diet? Were you looking for answers for his shoulder, or was it something else?
Yeah. I mean, his quality of life for the past 7 years has been horrible, just absolutely horrible. You know, he was just unable to do anything really. I mean, he could go to work just barely. And there were times where he had to hire an assistant to go with him to, you know, put the ladder out and just help him do things because he couldn't physically do the job that he was supposed to do. So he was paying somebody else to do all the physical work. And there were several times in the past 7 years that, we've come to a point where my 18-year-old now is like, okay, if daddy needs me to go to work with him, I might have to do all the physical stuff. And daddy just does all the paperwork because, you know, we're a family and we need income, you know? So we were really at our wits end. And like I said, just the quality of life. And then with that, you know, for a man, for anybody, but for a man, you know, a young guy, we're still young, it just weighs on you mentally when you're just in pain constantly, you're not sleeping, you have no quality of life, you can't do anything, you know, even just getting dressed, pulling up your pants, zippering your pants, he loves to graft fruit trees, and just the fine motor skills he didn't even have to graft the fruit trees anymore. And just me as his wife watching him deteriorate that quickly, it was just really scary. So I was always looking at other,
and I love to weight train, and
he had none
six
of that.
Days a week,
I mean, he couldn't do anything. He could barely stretch. Mean, it was just a no quality of life at all. And last year we went and got the stem cells done. So he had stem cells taken out of his hip and they spin them right there. And then they inject them in with an ultrasound into, you know, whatever area you need them in. And he said, allow like 6 weeks for, you know, to see what it's going to do. It's not going to improve anything, but it will pause all of the degeneration at best. Mm-hmm. And it'll just buy you some time and some years, you know, and then we might have to do it again. And it just kind of pauses everything. That's how it's supposed to work. Well, we waited those weeks and he had no improvements at all. And we went on a cruise last year with our family and he pretty much laid in the stateroom most of the time, just not sleeping, in pain. He just really didn't, I mean, other than eating meals and things like that, mm-hmm. he really just didn't, he wasn't able to do anything, you know? And that contrasted to this year, we just got back from the same exact cruise on the same boat and all of that. And he was boogie boarding and he was playing pickleball with the kids. And I mean, just going, night, you know, I mean, just night and day difference, different person, you know.
That is awesome. So I thought you were going to say he was diving off of the boat.
If they would let me.
Right. That's awesome. So you just happened to come across one of Carrie's videos.
So I guess we have been following him just because of the homesteading things, and you know, we find a lot of homesteaders, and I thought, wow, this is really fascinating. I mean, it was pretty early on in his carnivore journey that I've started following him, and I don't know if it was his 30-day update or whatever, it was early, and I'm like, this is incredible. I mean, this man's really getting his life back, you know, and he had a lot of pain and different things that he was struggling with, and I was like, well, you know, we have meat in our freezers and we're always
and we raise cows.
Yeah. You know? And, you know, I mean, what if this could really work, you know? And we had friends in real life who are about 10 years older than us. They went carnivore about a year ago. And so I thought they were crazy, but I didn't want to discourage them because, you know, they were coming off the American Standard Diet. And I thought, well, anything that they can do to get off of that, you know, soda and all that stuff will be an improvement. So he reversed his type 2 diabetes and they both lost like a lot of weight and just new energy. Lots of things improve, right? Everything improves. And so I'm watching Carrie, you know, and then I'm like looking at my pantry and looking at these freezers. And I'm like thinking, I mean, we've done everything else.
Right, exactly.
We've done everything else. We've done plant-based. Exactly. We did fruitarian for like a year or two. I don't even remember. Maybe 2 years, some variation of it. We've done Whole Foods. We've done gluten-free, dairy-free, sugar-free for 5 or 6 years now. We've done juicing like crazy people. You know, we've bought like grocery carts full of juice and vegetables and or vegetables.
I think that's what's kind of interesting about our story is we can honestly say that we've done all these different modalities relatively faithfully and strictly. Right. And it was so discouraging because we had been very faithful to do all these things that you're supposed to do. And we've read all the books and, you know, the 80-10-10 and the China study and all these different things. Oh, yeah. And we, you know, and it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to try this for 30 days or anything. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to stick to this. We're going to gut it out. It works, you know, and it's great and longevity and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then to do all that and just be like, dude, I feel like crap. Like, I was literally like, man, this is just getting old. The, can't sleep. I feel terrible. I'm in pain. I have all this inflammation and getting old is terrible. And like, and I mean, now I had extreme circumstance. I was in severe pain and had mechanical damage and issues. And I can honestly say, and I've always had a very sound mindset. So I've never been troubled with depression and I have incredible compassion for people that struggle with that and have dealt with that. And I've always been like super positive. And there was many, and that's the thing. I have compassion for people in constant pain because there were many times that I literally did want to die. I'm like, it would just be, you know, if I would just die, wow. You know, it would be so much better. I'd be out of pain. You know, my wife and children there, we have a couple $1 million, you know, we're debt free. We have a couple $1 million, you know, and I thought it all out. I'm like, they would get the life insurance proceeds. They would be set, you know, and I would be out of pain.
Right.
And I, you know, I thought that more than 100 times.
He never said it.
No, of course I never said it. And the other things that I never said is, you know, you're a man, you're active, you're physical. I have all these boys, right? And I always dreamed of, and, you know, because I would train 6 days a week and I was very committed to it. And one of the main reasons was, is I was hypoglycemic and it was how I regulated my blood sugar because you can't do that with diet. You know, you can't do that with diet. So, and I was very much, I very much enjoyed it and was addicted to it as part of my regimen. And I always dreamed of, oh man, when my boys get older, we'll be able to train together and do kettlebells and I can teach them all the tricks of the trade that I've learned and all this stuff. And then to get to that phase in life and to be relatively speaking incapacitated is kind of like devastating as a man. And then literally losing the physical ability to do what I do to make a living was incredibly defeating. It was a serious challenge. And I can say that I never got depressed about it. You know, I do know that God is in control and he's aware of what we're going through. And he gives us these struggles and challenges to overcome so that he can have the honor and the glory for it. But that doesn't mean that over 100 times I wanted to die. Right. I left it in God's hand and I'm here. So
right. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So that was, we jumped in. We just jumped in the deep end. I saw Carrie's videos. I watched a bunch of them and I was like, I mean, we have nothing to lose. There's nothing to lose here. Sure. Let's try it, you know? So I called my friend who's been carnivore for like a year now. And I said, so what do I make for like meals and stuff? And she said, just meat. It's just meat, you know? And I was like, okay, I could do this, you know? So that was it. It was just baby steps. And we just kind of fumbled through and figured it out. And we still had baskets of fruit on the counter that we had to finish through that week. So I was like, well, they can just finish eating that up. And then when that's gone, I'm just not buying anymore. And, you know, then I found Dr. Barry and beef, butter, bacon, and eggs. And I was like, well, I mean, it doesn't get any easier
we
than
have chickens,
that.
Chickens, we have cows. Check this out.
Yeah. So, and sausage, and a couple weeks into it, we had planned to go down and visit friends in South Texas. So that kind of gave me a new challenge because I was like, okay, so we're going to go rent this Airbnb house, and all the things that I normally do to provide food for our family, like if we go away, everything is, this is a whole twist, right? So, but it was so easy. We just went to the grocery store. We got a bunch of eggs and a bunch of sausage and bacon and hamburger. And we all ate and enjoyed it. And awesome. We invited friends over the one afternoon. And I said, do you just mind? It was like lunchtime. I said, we'll just have eggs and bacon and sausage and all that. And they loved it. They were like, it was totally great. And it was a normal meal. So everybody was happy with it. So we did that. And yeah, we kind of just jumped in.
Yeah. And now, so we were probably about 30 days in. And, you know, I was feeling great and I was joking around. I said, I feel so great. I bet you I could do a push-up, right? Because I'd been trying to do these like sissy push-ups against the table and all this stuff, like nothing. I mean, I had nothing. And I'm like, I feel so great. I could do a push-up. And so I'm like, they're like, yeah, right. And
we're like, all there in the kitchen.
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna do one right now. And she's like, don't hurt yourself. I got down super strict. I crunched out like 20 push-ups and I was just like,
oh my gosh.
Whoa, that's insane. I'm like, I just did that. Like I couldn't do one.
Yeah, I couldn't look. I was like, he's gonna hurt himself. We're gonna end up in surgery tomorrow.
And so fast forward like another 30 days, right? And I'm at work and I've been telling the guys, I'm like, hey, look, you know, I switched up because they knew what kind of physical condition it was. You know, I'm kind of senior position at my work and I'm a major cog in the machine. And there was, I mean, I even had the discussion at work, like, I don't know if I can physically do this anymore. And they're probably trying to think like, oh, well, what do we do? How do we replace TD and different things? And, it's hilarious. I come into work and the owner of the company is talking to my manager and he was like, oh, I'm going to just start eating meat. You know, this guy, Jordan Peterson and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh yeah. I was like, I've been doing that for like 90 days. Right. And I'm talking to him and they knew what was up and everything I'd been through. And I was like, yeah. And I can just, and I jumped down on the floor and I just, while I was talking to him, I just started cranking out reps, you know, and I did like 40 pushups and they're both standing there like, whoa, that's incredible. Like that's ridiculous. And, so right now at my work, I got three plus the owner. So I got four guys and I know three of them are very strict. And we're all just, you know, holding each other accountable and giving each other tips and tricks, but it's really neat to watch other people that were, you know, that needed to make a change and watch them make a change and watch a transformation and to be able to support each other.
Yeah.
So it's been really cool.
That's awesome. You know, and what's really crazy is, you know, you guys had the key literally right outside your door the whole time. Isn't that insane? I mean, when I think back on it, it's like the answer is right there the whole time. And you just needed that little bit of information to say, shop from this section of the grocery and not this one. Or in your case, shop from your backyard.
Right. Yeah. And not only that, what's more fascinating to me is like, it's so incredibly inexpensive and everybody gets so scared. You're like, right. Oh, meat's expensive. This is going to be hard. And like, when you see all the costs that you eliminate from your diet, it is incredibly inexpensive, not to mention the health costs that you're not going to generate, you know, that when you apply that towards your food, it makes it even that much more inexpensive. And then the amount of waste that we no longer generate buying all this packaged canned stuff, we've reduced our waste production by 75%. So we went from a 50 gallon trash can in our kitchen closet to a very small tote.
Yeah.
And we fill one tote. I compost all of our coffee grounds and all of our eggshells and any paper products. And then in our, I bet you
it's just plastic wrappers from meat.
Yeah. I bet you we're producing maybe 20% of the waste.
Yeah.
It's so dramatic and it's so green. You know what I mean? It's kind of incredible that this 1-point solution will literally resolve an enormous amount of issues. Mm-hmm. And it's so simple. It's so non-complicated. It's in a very real way. It's inexpensive. And relatively speaking, everybody has access to it.
Sure.
True. So you're it's environmentally friendly then.
Yep. Right. Very much so.
Yeah.
And you were eating vegetables and fruits, you guys didn't have any of that go to waste, did you?
Oh,
exactly. Wow. That's the whole thing. Yes. Exactly. There's so much. And I compost it, but wants to buy it and throw it out?
Yeah.
You know?
Especially with little, like, who had this half eaten apple?
Oh,
That used to drive him crazy, you know?
What's that smell in the fridge? Oh man, there's radishes from I don't know how long ago in the back turned to liquid.
Constantly, know, and just even the whole foods like oats and rice and just pasta or different things like that, that we would cook in big batches, you know, you'd use it, you know, for meals, you know, as the week went on, but then it gets to a point that you're just like, oh, throw it out to the chickens or, you know, throw it out to the pigs or whatever. But there was a lot of food waste. Mm-hmm. I mean, just a lot, you know, and now there's just
minimal waste, even from a monetary standpoint.
Sure.
With the meat, it's so easy to reheat and to mix it up and to come up with some different concoction, and it just doesn't go to waste.
Yeah. And our dogs are carnivore. We just give them ground beef and eggs and they're fine. Ooh. They're doing good. We just got a new little puppy and I got her the little cans, you know, dog food from the grocery store to start her off, and just kept putting a little bit of that on her plate with the ground beef and the eggs. And now she just eats the beef and the eggs and she's doing good. And it's crazy. That. It's so
simple.
And, you know, so I was like, okay, so all I have to do is get beef in the freezer. And I mean, we have chickens for eggs, but we have neighbors that have eggs too. And there's a grocery store up the road that has eggs, you know? So I was like, that's all I have to do. Are you kidding me? Like, I've been doing all of this work for all these years, you know? So the simplicity is great.
And I can imagine with you, because you said you weren't, you know, necessarily a cook, you know, in the kitchen. So it was probably sort of a pain to have to do all that food prep.
It was. It was. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. So, yeah, we're just all been tickled to death with it. And the boys, you know, it took some time. There was a couple of our kids that didn't really eat meat. So, and I wasn't a big meat eater. So I just made myself, you know, I heard Dr. Barry was like, you're an adult. Like, you just need to eat it no matter what. You know, I think he was talking about fat or, you know, stuff like that. Like, just put on your big girl pants or, you know, big boy pants and do it no matter, just make yourself, you know? And I was like, okay, that's what I have to do, you know? So for the kids, you know, in the beginning, we allow like ketchup, like organic, you know, no fructose ketchup, like some sauces to make it more fun. We let them do carnivore waffles for a while. It was just scrambled eggs in a waffle maker. And then we'd let them put a little honey on it, you know, just things to keep the troops happy, like, you know, because I knew it was going to be, you know, a little bit of a transition. Yeah, sure. And I didn't want any bad attitudes from it. So I wanted it all to be happy and good. So whatever we have to do, you know, sometimes we circle back around and we start buying lots of bacon again, or well, now we got off this cruise and they got introduced to these little breakfast sausages. And so we have like lots of these breakfast sausages in the refrigerator, but I'm like, whatever we have to do to keep people happy. You know, there was sour cream on the cruise. So everybody started loving that. I mean, sour cream, it's like less than $4 for this giant, like half gallon container down here, you know? And it's like, that's cheap. That's so cheap. Yeah. I mean, butter and sour cream as toppings on our food now, it's like, it's not expensive, you know, compared to what we were doing, you know, right. I mean, do you know how many bags of cinnamon toast you have to buy? Like to, I mean, my kids can eat half a loaf of cinnamon toast and they're still hungry in 20 minutes, you know?
Yeah. For sure. So you have transitioned your entire family to carnivore?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, we all eat impressive. The same.
Yeah, we all eat the same. My little kids still eat some berries. So they have blueberries, frozen blueberries, and they have frozen, like some mixed berries in the freezer. It's not even every single day, but if they want them, we just say in the evening, like as a dessert or something, they can have that. And mm-hmm. for like special, like birthdays or things like that, we get ice cream for them.
I converted our garden. Cause we installed a mitt lighter garden with like a drip system. So I converted our garden into a huge blueberry patch. Yeah. And then I collect fig trees. So I got all of my collector varieties in there. So our garden will be basically kind of like a curated, fruit array. Cause I'm real into like propagating and we have about 400 right. fruit trees. So I'm still super into that. When it's in season, I will eat it. Right. I really enjoy that.
But like when the pears were in season, like the end of the summer, the trees were loaded with pears and like the little kids might have one or something like that.
And
or,
it was great for the animals, you know, for the pigs and the chickens. Kept, it was just incredible.
Picking them and giving them to the pigs. So, yeah. I mean, that's fine. Or give them to neighbors, I guess will be, you mm-hmm. know, good, but the pressure is off. So you can just enjoy growing trees and doing that kind of stuff and propagating mm-hmm. and you don't have all the pressure of like, how am I ever going to provide, you know, as a homesteader, you know, like how am I ever going to get there? Like, you know, it was just a vicious, all consuming circle of like, I mean, I would have to grow a field of green beans, you know, like I would have to grow a field of tomatoes to have enough tomato sauce for everybody. You know, it was just enough was never enough. And I'm like, I just don't understand. But when we were doing meat, I'm like, okay. I mean, we have cows.
Yeah. And then with the cows. So, cause I've been trying to figure out, okay, how are we going to resiliently feed these cows? And if we expand our herd and whatnot. So, I started doing a lot of research and I really got into mulberry trees, and mulberry trees are, they call it tree hay. So I've been collecting different varieties of mulberries to get the perfect forage. And then I'm going to propagate them, grow them out. I'm going to have to grow them up to a decent size before I plant them over in our cow pasture, because the cows will mow them down. So that's what I'm working on, for a more resilient, kind of like a silo pasture with our cows with mulberry trees. And I'm not aware of anybody that's done that yet. But so that's one experiment that we're running right now.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah. But it just cool. Community, you know, I mean, there's people around that have cows. I think pretty much anywhere anybody is, unless you live in a major city area in America, you're probably not too far from somebody who's raising cows or raising, you know, chickens for eggs. And you can, you know, source some of your things, maybe not all your things, but maybe some of your things local. And it's great because it takes some of the pressure off of you too. You don't have to provide all of your stuff.
Yeah, and it reinforces and supports your community. You know, it's kind of like, for example, our chickens stop laying. And I mean, we eat a lot of eggs. Like when I tell you we eat a lot of eggs, I'm saying that we could eat 90 eggs in a weekend.
Yes.
Easily. Oh my goodness.
Very easily,
yeah. Like without trying. Yeah. And so there was a sign like a mile up the road, eggs. And so I, because I'm like, yeah, we could go to the store and buy eggs, but hey, if I buy them from my neighbor,
they're cheaper,
yeah. And they're going to be raised better. They're going to have more rooms. They're going to have higher quality food. They're going to, you know, more of a free range, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And so I started buying from her. I cleaned her out. Like I kept her, because our chicken, I mean, we have a lot of layers and they just totally stopped. Yeah. So I started buying from her. I cleaned her out. And then I'm like, hey, I need more eggs, you know? And then she's like, I have a friend. So now I have a network of three neighbors. And if we, and now of course our chickens have started laying again. Yes. So
well, we added a light bulb in there. So I forgot. No. Just, you know, the day and nighttime hours, it just started getting dark earlier. And then I was like, Oh, that's right. They need
But now so we have a network of three neighbors. So if we ever need eggs, you know, so it's really neat. So we're keeping our money in our community and we're getting a higher quality product at a lower price point. Right. So it's pretty cool. I mean, it is really cool.
Yeah. That's awesome. And for your shoulder, TD, it's effectively healed now. I mean, you're doing all these pushups. So I'm assuming that it's better for you.
So that range is good. I can stretch fully up, but there's definitely some mechanical stuff I can't do, you know, and all the doctors told me that they're like, look, certain things you're just not going to be able to do. But I can't do pull-ups yet. I'm working on it. Because I am missing 30 to 40% of my labrum is gone. So when I do any of those type of anterior rotations, like it's bone on bone and it's not cool. Like that doesn't feel good. So I made a big mistake because after I got everything done and after I got the stem cells, I should have taken a picture of my shoulder but it was ultra disgusting. It was flesh wrapped over skeleton.
Yeah, it was.
And your
shoulder, it looked like this. It looked like a square, square. You could see the bones.
And it was traumatic to look at, you know?
Yeah.
And, but now, I mean, it's relatively speaking, all the muscle tone's back.
Yeah, it's round again.
It's miraculous looking. I mean, it's, you know, and it's not perfect, you know, but it's trillion percent better. It was. Yeah. I can sleep at night.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's awesome. Round. It's not like skeleton.
It's not. Boy, yeah. Gross, you know? Looking.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have a, well, similar experience, not with as intense pain as you had, you know, and having to do surgeries and things like that. But once I went carnivore, that gave me shoulder problems. And I theorized that the inflammation that was in my shoulder was keeping the nerves and things in place. And then when the inflammation went down, it was allowed to move around and stuff. And it was causing me pain and I couldn't lift my arm, you know, higher than this. So I bought this book and it's a orthopedic surgeon. He only does effectively just shoulders. And he wrote this book to keep people off of his operating table. And literally the trick that he teaches people in this exercise is to hang. So I thought, well, I can, hang, right? So now I can, that's all I do. Yeah. I hung for, you know, maybe 10 seconds at a time for three or four times a day, and then gradually increase that and increase that and increase that, along with some specific exercises that he had. Super simple. And the bone. What's that? You know what book I'm talking about?
The exact book you're talking about. Yep. And that book and those exercises did extend me tremendously. That's what was really frustrating for me, because I would be in severe pain and locked up, and I was able to exercise through it and get relief and get back to normalcy in small pockets. That's what made it so frustrating, because I'm like, man, I've been able to break this cycle several times. But what was happening was that the scar tissue was building up, and the scar tissue ultimately did me in just because of the missing labrum. Hanging and then doing those circular weighted exercises I recommend, you know, Pete Egoscue wrote a book, The Egoscue Exercises, but then that doc wrote that shoulder, and hanging with those lightweight exercises, if anybody has shoulder problems, it is awesome.
It was amazing. I mean, I would have severe acute pain if I did something like open a bag and it just suddenly snapped. Oh my goodness, I was on the floor in pain. And now I have none of those issues, and it's just from hanging, which is really strange.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I do. I still hang every day. I got a pull-up bar here in the studio, and I hang multiple times a day. And I'm a big proponent of inversion. I do an inversion table. I have a teeter inversion, and that makes a lot of difference too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But now you're not like.
Yeah. Now I don't have to live on it. Yeah. I used to have to like live on that thing. I used to have to get up in the middle of the night when I wasn't sleeping and hang upside down. And I would hang upside down for like an hour and a half.
Oh my goodness.
And I was, I was so sleep deprived. I would get on the inversion table upside down and fall asleep upside down. Like Count Dracula. I'm like,
it's bad. It was bad. When he came home, he was on the inversion table or doing some type of exercise or something to try to get some type of relief. And that was with all the chiropractic.
Psychologically, my life revolved around, okay, how do I get out of pain? Yeah. Like, I'm going to try to go to sleep. Okay, I need to sleep because if I don't sleep, I'm going to have more pain. Mm-hmm. I can't sleep. So now what do I do? I'm in pain, you know, For 7 years, my life revolved around, okay, well, now I got to do pull-ups and now I got to do this and now I got to do that just because I need to try to stay out of pain so I can go to work and do all the things I got to do. And it was very, it was a prison.
It was all consuming.
Yeah, yes. It was a prison.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, I'm glad that you're feeling better, man. That's definitely got to be great for your family too.
1,000% better.
We have a new person in the house. I mean, it's just night and day difference.
It's very dramatic. So
TD, you were helped, but what about you, Faith? Have you seen any improvements?
Absolutely. Yeah. So just pretty early on, of course, you lose a lot of weight. Just cleaning up my diet and taking out all of these, extra side dishes. My 30 pounds of weight that I was holding on to forever and ever. And then I would, do these different things over the years, to try to like restrict my calories and fast and do these different things and cut out desserts and everything. And I would barely squeak by to lose, 25 pounds of it. And then as soon as I, ate a little bit or smelled some food of something, it seemed like, it would just come right back, And I'm like, oh, this is horrible, But I've been able to lose my 30 pounds, keep it off. I mean, I'm pretty much the same weight that I was when we got married. And so that I feel good, of course you lose a little bit of weight, you feel good. I have good energy. And then that just snowballs into everything, right? I mean, I want to go outside. I enjoy being outside. Now, tonight I was like, I gotta run. I gotta do my sprints before I come sit down here, cause I have so much energy. Even though I've been up since first thing this morning, homeschooled 3 kids, went to the dentist's office, did dentist appointments with 5 kids, helped the boys with, the dinner stuff and then come and sit in here. But I'm just like, I got to go sprint. Like I just got to run around for a little bit, and I'm 45 years old, so I'm not a spring chicken. But it feels good, just the fresh air and everything. So I think that just plays into everything. I mean, just your mental state, especially as a mom, I see, going from like survival mode mom, just being 30 pounds overweight, more sluggish, not enjoying going outside or like, where do I have to walk to? What do you have to show me? And now I'm just running around with them, outside. So it's just a lot of, just really great things that I've noticed lifestyle wise.
And it's a self-regulating, because when you come to the realization that, wow, just this minor shift in diet and it's going to correct these issues. And then you're like, what else? I'm going to start doing this grounding stuff. Right. And now that I'm sleeping better and getting up earlier, and maybe I'll do some cold plunging. and I'll start introducing some different cycles of fasting and different things. And it really becomes such a synergy because one, you have the inclination to do it. You have the energy to do it. You have the mindset to do it. The mental clarity comes back and then you have this acuity and it starts to become like this process where you're like, well, if I made that small change and had this dramatic result, like what other small changes can I make that are don't even cost anything?
Sure.
And, you know, just to have all of these incredible results. Yeah. And so it just becomes like a success cycle, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
Yeah. I think it just becomes part of almost like self-care where you just realize that, okay, I'm feeling good. Well, let me, you know, go sit out on the porch and, you know, I'm taking the dogs out to go potty or whatever. And the sun's coming up. Let me just enjoy 5 minutes out here and looking at the sun coming up or, okay, it's evening time. You know, it's beautiful. The sun's starting to go down. I'll go do my sprints or I'll just go walk around. Or one evening we were out there with my little ones and I had missed the sunset going down, but the stars were out and it was beautiful. And we were out running around in the backyard. I'm like, I mean, it's beautiful out. I mean, running's fun at nighttime too, as long as you have a lit up backyard, you know, and a trip on something, you know,
right.
Like this cool too. I don't know when you don't, my husband says it's probably from somebody else, but you know, most people don't do good because they don't feel good. And I know
Jim Rohn, yeah.
As a mom, you know, that was totally true. And trying to like force yourself to have the motivation to like get on the treadmill and do something when you just don't feel good, you don't have the energy to do it, you know, and I think it's because we're not feeding our bodies what they need, you know, and it's meat and eggs. I mean, it's very simple. So if you eat enough meat and eggs, you just start to feel good, you know, and your brain turns mm-hmm. on and you just, life is easier and better, you know, and you don't desire to go back, you know.
That's awesome.
And the challenge is when you get this mental clarity and this motivation, you are not a malleable person that's just trying to subsist and exist. And that is a threat to certain infrastructures, especially infrastructures that want to destroy the beef industry. So I think that's part of it as well. I mean, we don't have to go deep dive into that, but that's why. And that's why I love Sean Baker and the stuff that he's doing and the way he puts his stuff out there and is mocking a lot of it. It's really great. But there's so much truth to that. And the great thing is once you have that energy and acuity, you can invest some time on that side as well. Pushing back, you know, and that's why we're excited about raising our own cows and making them available to our local community, because we don't want to just have the solution and share our story, but we want to be able to be abundant and share that as well. Mm-hmm. Which is really very fulfilling.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's Sean Baker. He is a little funny when it comes to some of those posts.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. He's, yeah.
So yeah. You guys have both seen improvements on your diet, and you have all of your children eating a carnivore diet as well. Have you guys noticed any improvements with them, or have they shared with you guys that, you know, anything that they've noticed that's different with them?
Yeah, lots of improvements from them too. I mean, they were healthy kids as far as we knew anyway, but our oldest son, he was able to drop quite a bit of weight. And he didn't appear to be like an overweight kid anyway, but it really just took him down. I forget how many inches on his waist size.
Yeah, he actually didn't lose any weight on the scale, but he lost 2 or 3 inches on his waist.
Right. His waist just shrunk.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and at that time, He was working out a lot too. So he's kind of had to take a break because he had shoulder surgery too. Mm-hmm. Second shoulder surgery runs in the family.
Mm-hmm. Left shoulder.
So, yeah. So, but he's going to be starting back in January. He'll be all healed up from that. And then he'll be able to start working out again. But just all different things.
Their skin dramatically.
Yeah,
totally cleared up
for teenagers. You know, I saw a big difference in their skin. They didn't have to be on skin medication anymore. It's not perfect,
sure,
but definitely a difference.
And their diet's not perfect either.
They treat themselves.
Yeah, they kind of.
Do they indulge in cheese or anything like that? Any kind of dairy? Yeah,
cheese on their burgers, and they do have ice cream. Probably more than we know.
Probably more than they should.
Probably more than they should. So that could have to do with their skin too. One of our sons too, just really was more of an emotional kid, just really had more of like an emotional, he's a younger teenager, like just more emotional ups and downs and roller coaster kind of, you know, so there was a lot of me kind of coaching him through that the last couple years of like, look, it's just your hormones, you know, it's nothing unnormal or anything. It's just, sometimes you're going to get really frustrated and it's just your hormones. You're not, you know, and so, or upset or whatever the emotion is, you know, and since going carnivore, I mean, he is just really flattened out. I mean, just me and our relationship has changed a lot. He's just more level, and he was definitely a bit, you know, not as much of a meat eater. Definitely not my meat eater kid. Like if we had sweet potatoes and whatever, I don't know. We didn't have steaks that much.
He would have very severe reactions to gluten.
Yeah.
He was very food sensitive.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. So,
He would become like asthmatic and all different kinds of things like that.
Yeah. So just that's been a big difference. And even just my little kids, their body composition, I don't know about their weight necessarily has changed, but their body composition has changed that they just got really streamlined, you know, and they're just like, you know, I mean, they've always been active, healthy kids, but watching the shape of their bodies, and they're little, I mean, they're 8, 7, and 5 right now, but just seeing that change, I'm like, wow. And the muscle.
Yeah. It's fascinating. Like these little boys, and they become like these muscle sharks. Yeah. Like they just, and they're not, you know, they're just doing stuff, man. Yeah, they're just doing around. Their thing. They're not like doing regimented calisthenics or anything. No. And right. Just to watch their bodies change. Yeah. And all it is like, oh, wow, you are what you eat. They've always said that. And then, you know, you eat a muscle and you turn into a little muscle. So it's very fascinating, just as from a anecdotal observation from a lay person like myself, it's fascinating to me.
Yeah. And I just didn't realize carbohydrates were just converting into sugar. So like, even though I thought I was doing good with, you know, whole oats or whatever, steel cut oats and some berries and nuts and chia seeds and whatever, you know, for breakfast. And then, you know, lunch would be like, I don't know, but just like, you know, all of the different grains and carbs and potatoes and all of that stuff, it just all converts to sugar, you know, and I've seen a big difference in their teeth and their oral health.
Big time.
We just got back from the dentist today, you know, and they're still following those same cavities that the dentist has been like
from
keeping eyeballs on from before, but they had really like a lot of cavities before, like an insane amount.
And once again, this is this indirect cost, right? That we don't associate with that. Once you switch over, this is an expense you're going to eliminate. Mm-hmm. And it's fascinating. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I'm sure there's bean counter nerdy spreadsheet people that could really get like dive deep down into this and break it out. Unfortunately, I'm like a big picture helicopter 30,000 feet guy. But I would love for somebody to like nerd out into the data and just dispel that this is like expensive. Cause I bet you it would be a dramatic reduction in overall expense. Like I bet you would be hard to calculate how dramatic the savings are.
Yeah, for sure. I can't even imagine how much a filling is now. I mean, when I was a kid, I had quite a few fillings myself, and I remember seeing the bills from that, you know, 40 years ago. And, you know, like $150 back then, you know, I don't know what it would be now.
Yeah. Yeah. They're pretty hefty bills. So it was just, that's been good to see the improvement on that end. And, you know, I'm trying to think of what else I was going to say. You know, just for our size family, our big staples, you know, how we make it work is just ground beef, lots of ground beef, lots of eggs. Eggs are cheap. We did add back in sour cream since we went on vacation. People were excited about sour cream. Bacon is more of like a luxury because it's more expensive. Even cheaper bacon is just more expensive when you times it by a bunch of people eating bacon. So
we have to make a lot of bacon.
Yeah. So we go in spurts with bacon, you know. And yeah, that's pretty much
another thing that I find fascinating, you know, because I've had all this inflammation. So I've always had some type of bursitis or tennis elbow or whatever. And what I find fascinating now, and even though before it was the whole purpose of inflammation and pain is to say, hey, something's wrong. Right. And it's supposed to say, hey, something's wrong. It tells your brain. And then you as a thinking human being are supposed to say, okay, something's wrong. I need to modify. I need to make a change so that the pain goes away. And what's neat now is I have arthritis in the same arm of my bad shoulder. And it's neat now because I'm like, oh man, my elbow's bothering me. And I'm like, what, did I eat something or did I, but you know, today elbow feels great. You know, no pain. I've been eating clean. I didn't accidentally eat anything. Cause that's one thing I noticed on the cruise, you know, I was getting omelets in the morning. And the second day I'm like, oh, look, this is oily. I'm like, man, they're cooking this in something, you know what I mean? And I'm sure it's some type of seed oil. It's something that they're certainly not. And so I cut out the omelet, you know, and it's just kind of neat now when you start to feel, you're like, you know, your body's telling you, hey man, something's up.
Yeah.
And then you make the change and you're like, oh, cool. I'm good. Like, and so the way God created you with the warning signs and everything, now you can actually get the warning sign. Okay. Make the change. Oh, cool. Pain went away. I'm back. I'm good. You know, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. My body's doing what it's supposed to do. Wow. It's almost like somebody created this thing like that.
Yeah. And for me, sure. I never had, like, serious arthritis or anything like that, but I just had the normal, like 40-year-old little aches and pains and twinges, and you just feel things more, you know, your hands might cramp up, or getting out of bed you're just like, oh, you're walking a little funny until you get your hips going, or you know, things like that. And that all went away, like all of that is gone. So it's just incredible.
I love that. That's awesome. So would you guys mind sharing with the viewers if somebody is potentially looking to make a change to their diet? They've heard about the carnivore diet, but they're not sure about it. What kind of advice would you give to that person?
My advice would be all you have to do is try it for 30 days. Within 2 weeks, I felt dramatically better. Everyone that I have worked with and have spoke with and the different testimonials that I've heard, almost exclusively, I would say within 2 weeks. Yeah. Now, if you are going to try it, do it for real. Like, do it for 30 days and absolutely do it for real. You're a grown up, you're an adult. You can suck it up. You can be strict with it and do it for 30 days. That doesn't mean, you know, I am very practical, like, and that's why we aren't purists in this sense. Like, I do believe that it makes sense if you are going to do this long term, In my opinion, you do need to be, there are purist people that can be super strict, but I think you need to have some latitude so that mentally you can maintain it and not yo-yo. But do it for real, do it for 30 days. And I can almost guarantee you within 2 weeks, it's going to be so dramatic that you're going to be like, wow, thank you. This was awesome.
Right. Absolutely. And I think my advice would be that you don't have to be perfect with it either. You know, you can be as strict as you want to be, but you don't have to be perfect. You know, in the beginning, like I said, that first week, we just let the kids finish up the fruit. You know, I enjoyed every single grapefruit, like the sugar just from grapefruit. I would eat 5 or 6 grapefruits in a day. Like I was so addicted to sugar that just the sweetness of a grapefruit, I would just eat all of them. Like I just loved them, you know. But you know, I had my carnivore friend, and she said, so it's beef, butter, bacon, eggs. But she said, I added an extra B for like survival, blueberries. She was like, get yourself a bag of frozen blueberries. And in those first, you know, month or 2 months or however long it takes, you know, if you just really, really need something in the evening or something, you know, just get yourself a little scoop of frozen blueberries. And if it's just enough to get you through, you know, and those blueberries were like a lifesaver for me in the beginning. And it wasn't that long, you know, it was like, you know, maybe by the second month, we just started to phase them out and me and you stopped. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't, you know, crave blueberries anymore or anything like that. My kids still eat the frozen, you know, fruit, but we just don't crave it anymore. It's just, I don't need the sweet anymore.
Yeah. And my second recommendation is, okay, so start practicing this now. So everybody you talk to is going to say, in a very awkward way, like they're like afraid to ask you or something, which somebody just asked me this probably yesterday. So do you think you're going to eat like this the rest of your life? Okay. First off, nobody thinks about that, like food or even saving money or anything or whatever. But I say, I think I'm going to eat like this as long as I find it beneficial to my health.
Right.
Yeah. Great answer. Great answer.
That makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. And along the lines of not being perfect, you know, I mean, it's different. I think if people are hypersensitive, if you find out that you have a bad reaction to food, if it has peppers in it or something like that. But like, you know, for us, I gave a lot of grace for the kids. Like I said, you know, we had ketchup. Now we're down to sour cream and butter, but it's taken us 6 months to get the toppings being sour cream and butter. I mean, you know, I allowed for a clean barbecue sauce.
That drove me nuts because I'm fanatical, you know, and I'm like, if you're going to do it, you better do it
and
for
I'm
real.
Like, no, we're going to make this happy and enjoyable. Like my one little boy who's 8, he wanted teriyaki sauce at one point. And I was like, you know, I mean, it's got like 30 grams of sugar in a tablespoon of teriyaki sauce. But you know what? If it helps him to eat his meat, because he was not a meat kid at all, I don't want him to, you know, start mentally feeling like, oh, I hate meat. And I felt like that as a kid. You know, I don't want him to, I want him to have a good attitude about, he doesn't need a teriyaki sauce. He didn't even finish all the bottles of teriyaki sauce that I bought them. But, you know, just little things like that just helped get him through. And I know it can help adults too. Sometimes you have to just be gracious with yourself and, you know, you might give up the teriyaki sauce eventually, but if you're doing something and it helps keep you on track, that's better to just be on track than to say, well, I'm a failure. I can't do it because I only know that I can eat beef and salt and water and I can't mentally do that right now. You know, well, eventually you might, or you might never get to that point and that's okay too. You know, it's just, being gracious.
That was something else that happened that was kind of fascinating. You know, when we started, you know, because we raise cows and pigs and we were eating probably 50% pork and 50% beef. Mm-hmm. And once we started, about 30 to 60 days in, I'm like, I don't want the pork anymore.
Right.
I'm like, I want red meat.
Yeah.
Like I feel best. I feel optimal at that. I still love the bacon and I'll eat the bacon and I'll take the bacon. I'm not going to hate on bacon, but the rest of the pork, I can totally leave. Like I don't need that. And I don't want that.
But we do ham sometimes.
Yeah, we do.
We do ham sometimes to mix it up.
But I'll say this too. Like, man, when I used to eat ham, I would gun it. I mean, pounds. But now it's just like, I'll eat some, but.
We'll usually have it with beef, like have some beef and have the ham on the side, you know. Yeah. And turkeys and hams right now. I mean, if it's still the holiday season when people are watching this or whatever, stock up on your turkeys and hams because they're like a dollar something a pound. And it's just nice to have some variety sometimes, you know.
So what's your guys' plans for Christmas with, you know, navigating that?
Well, it's funny because we're having a Christmas dinner at church this Sunday. So I was in the loop with the different ladies, you know, and we have meals, fellowship meals almost every Sunday at church anyway. So that's been interesting, you know, because there's
this
huge spread of food and then a huge table of desserts, you know, every single Sunday, which maybe that's why the cruise wasn't as big of a deal for us because we're used to navigating that anyway. So usually we just bring meat that we're okay with eating and share it with everybody else. And then at least we know there's going to be an option there for us. Even if nobody else brings anything that we could eat, there's still going to be something there for us. And you know, we're gracious, you know, if somebody brought chicken or different things and there might be certain seasonings on it, you know, I might give that to my little kids or whatever. They're not going to have a reaction to it. It's, you know, it's fine. We can have some wiggle room in that. So yeah, we're bringing a ham. We brought a big turkey a couple weeks ago to church and we bring ice cream. I know it's not perfect. It's not perfect, but Dr. Kiltz does ice cream. So we buy whole ingredient ice cream. And I don't indulge in ice cream. He know, I mean, 99% of the time he does not have ice cream.
Yeah.
But my teenagers enjoy having ice cream as a dessert once
and
in a while.
And their skin pays the price.
And, yeah.
And my
yeah, same,
little ones.
Same here. Same here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Kiltz's ice cream, but I can't have it, but maybe once or twice a year because my skin, once I found out that dairy was what was causing my adult acne, I'm like, I can't have cheese and all that butter and all that anymore. Just can't do it.
Yeah. Okay. So do you supplement with butter or you can't have the butter?
Nope. What I normally would cook with butter, I cook with tallow.
Oh, okay. Because here's what I did. So, you know, cause we were dairy free and everything. So we went carnivore and then I'm like, I need to up the fat and we get really good tallow. I really like our tallow, but I was like, I would really like to introduce back butter back in, you know,
it's a couple months in.
Yeah. And, so we added butter back in and, I was doing my carnivore coffee with butter, tallow and raw eggs, you know, and one morning I drank it and I immediately, I was like, I felt the post nasal drip like immediately. And I'm like, that's weird because everything's been great. And I'm like, it's the same coffee. It's the same. I'm like, oh, it's the butter. So the butter was kicking in the inflammation response. So I'm like, so I cut the butter back out and immediately everything went back good. And I'm like, oh, I guess I can't have butter. Okay. And then what I did is I was like, well, let me try Kerrygold. Let me do the Kerrygold. And so I reintroduced the Kerrygold and right now I'm doing good on that. Right. I haven't had any type of inflammatory response. So, but yeah, I had the same exact thing with butter. But when I switched up to Kerrygold, that's been working for me for now, you know, it might not always stay that way.
Yeah. I would say the Kerrygold so in terms of my skin, it didn't really cause that much of an issue. I mean, I still had some skin issues, and there wasn't any sort of a stall with weight loss or anything like that eating the Kerrygold. Cause I did that for the first 3, 4, 5 months. And then just gradually got rid of it to see if things would improve. And they actually did. But if I ate other brands of butter, definitely skin problems started coming back. And like you said, the inflammation in your sinus cavity and things like that would be more prevalent.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what's so neat about this modality of eating, because you can continue to fine tune it. And what works for you and what worked for you doesn't work for everybody, and what works for everybody else doesn't work for you. That's what else is neat about it. And the community is, because you can hear all these different feedbacks and what's working and not working for other people. And you're like, hey, I think I'm going to try that. You know, you don't have to like visit a medical deity and have some MD tell you, you have a deficiency in Ozempic. So, you know, if you took an Ozempic supplement, you wouldn't be fat anymore.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You need Lipitor.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, just in our supplements, we have it.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
We are saving a fortune.
We're saving several hundred dollars a month.
Yeah. I mean, because we have vitamin D. I've always been low on vitamin D my whole life. So I do supplement vitamin D and iodine. And yeah. I still have jars of multivitamins in the cabinet, but I don't really think we need them.
I'm a big iodine guy. Dr. Brownstein did extensive research, and basically he's tied almost exclusively like every major illness to iodine deficiency. And yeah, I think people should really look at iodine. And what's really neat is, you know, I take very high doses of iodine, and I don't recommend anything to anybody. But my wife was incredibly sensitive to iodine, and because she had thyroid issues in the past and all these different things. But now that she's carnivore and everything, she's reintroduced the Lugols and no issues with that.
Yeah. And
so it's pretty neat.
I'm up at like the highest dose, like according to Dr. Bry, or, you know, I know Dr. Barry and Nisha, they talk about iodine a lot. So I'm up at where I need to be, you know, for my dosage of iodine. So, yeah, nice. I mean, it's awesome. Been great.
Yeah. We're still figuring it out.
Very cool. Well, thank you guys for sharing your story with me and my subscribers. I really feel like, you guys are going to inspire many. And, you know, what's funny is it all started with Carrie, and Carrie now is transformed all your whole entire family and everybody you work with, TD, and he kind of has that effect on the world. That's really cool. So where can everybody find you?
So we have a YouTube channel. We're called the Texas Boys, and some people think that's weird because the Texas Boys are getting older now, but our boys started a channel like, I don't know, like 7 or 8 years ago, and they were the little, and they were the Texas Boys. So we're the Texas Boys, so you can check us out over on YouTube at the Texas Boys. We're on Rumble. We're on Twitter. And you can always go to thetexasboys.com and check out our website. And we have Homestead products there. And me and my oldest son, Matt, we have a podcast called The Fearless Podcast. So we are also on all of your podcatchers. We had a great interview with Sean Baker over there at The Fearless Podcast. We have lots of really cool interviews scheduled coming up. So if you're into like carnivore or homesteading or intentional living, check out the Fearless Podcast. Yes. I think you'll enjoy it.
And they have a great air fryer video coming out too.
Yes.
It's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Yep. So if you're interested
you see this giant air fryer.
It's giant.
Texas.
Awesome. Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate your time, and we will meet again.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Adam. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Take care, guys.
Yeah. All
right. You've been listening to Carnivore Today.
We're one of the most unique podcasts on the web, as we explore not only the carnivore diet, but the misconceptions about it as well along the way. There are so many benefits from this extremely healthy and fulfilling diet. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find the website at carnivoretoday.com. Also find us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Carnivore Today. See you next time.